Hey everyone, our June shows are just around the corner. Join us next Tuesday, June 13th at Tiger Tiger Tavern in San Diego, and Wednesday, June 21st at Bumport Theater in Denver. The theme will be Road Trip. We will see you there.
Next storyteller.
All right, next storyteller.
Next storyteller.
Our next storyteller.
Welcome to the Narrators Podcast.
This podcast collects stories that were told at the Narrators, a monthly storytelling event that features people telling true stories based on a theme.
Today's story comes from one of the narrator's favorite storytellers, Taylor Gonda. Taylor is a podcast host, DJ, Denver icon, and sadly for all of us in Colorado, a soon-to-be resident of Los Angeles. California, please take care of our good friend. Taylor's story of awkward infatuation was recorded live on May 17th, 2017 at Bumport Theater in Denver, Colorado. The theme of the evening was Fashion Victim.
I want to tell you guys a story about cluelessness, and I don't mean the Alicia Silverstone movie, although that's a great movie. I have been so clueless in my life, so incredibly clueless, but especially as a younger person in my teenage years, I just didn't know how to talk to people, how to talk to boys, friends, whomever. I was so awkward. I didn't know how to do anything. Human interaction confused me. I was much better with books. I could deal with books, but humans were strange. And so when I went to college, I hadn't yet had a boyfriend. I hadn't yet kissed anybody. I hadn't yet done anything really human interaction wise, except sit at a Village Inn till midnight because my parents told me I had to have a curfew. Like, they're like, stay out till midnight. What are you doing? You're a teenager. Go. So I went and I sat with my friends at Village Inn and like, oh, it's midnight. Okay, time to go. So a little awkward, but I had about four friends in college my freshman year. One of whom was a guy named Greg who I was absolutely in love with. He was a saxophone player. So, for a lady like me, that was pretty saucy. And he had a poster of John Coltrane up in his room, and he played every saxophone. He played alto, soprano, baritone, whatever kind of saxophone you want, you know. And he had all these jazz albums. You know, it was great. It was really fun. And I thought he was just absolutely adorable. So in love, but I didn't know what to do about it because I didn't know. How do you flirt? What do you do? What do you do? I would just sit there. I would just literally just sit there and just sort of stare. That was about it. I'm sure strange. So my first attempt at flirting with him was he was a big fan of Britney Spears. This was 1999, so I believe her second album had just come out. So it was, Oops, I Did It Again, I think. She had the red spacesuit in the video. He was all about that. Love that video. So I decided I would take my Rolling Stones and my Spin magazines, and I'd cut out every picture of Britney Spears for him and give it to him as a present. Because I wanted to be helpful for his masturbation practices. I don't know. It was literally the only thing I could think of at the time. My brain just didn't operate in those ways. You know, he would fall in love with me because I was so helpful. I don't know. Honestly, I have no idea what the 17-year-old brain of mine was thinking. It didn't work. Surprisingly enough. So I was trying to think, well, what else can I do? What else can I do? And Halloween was coming around. And Greg was so in love with Britney Spears, he decided it would be hilarious if he went as Britney Spears for Halloween. And I thought, oh my God, I could do it. I'm a theater kid. I was a theater kid. I can totally do this. I can make a costume. I can put him in makeup. I can put the wig on. The whole thing. I can do it. I will turn you into Britney Spears, and then you'll fall in love with me. So I had such ambitions. I had the whole idea in my head. I was going to go to, I don't know, Target or something and get a little skirt and the whole thing and the T-shirt and the button-up tied up and the pigtails and the whole thing. But it's college, so then you don't do that because you're lazy and you're like hanging out in the dorms with people and you're not really like, oh shit, it's the night, I gotta go. And then you couldn't, it didn't happen. So I pulled out some skirt from my closet and some tank top that was kind of Britney Spears-ish. And I convinced him. I said, "Yes, you can come to my dorm, and I'll totally make you look like Britney Spears. It'll be amazing." And he came to the dorm, and he put the clothes on, and well, I have a picture.
Hey everyone, it's Ron jumping in here real quick. At this point in the show, Taylor took a photo and held it up to a camera, and then that projected on a wall, so everybody in the audience got to see it. You can't see it, obviously, but if you would like to, just go to thenarrators.org, and we have posted the photo there for you. All right, back to the story.
Can you see it? That's it. That's Britney Spears. Can you see it? Oh, he looks just like her. Oh my God, he's so beautiful. Yeah, that was it. And he's got a little eyeliner on. I think he might have a little lip gloss. Oh, that was it. That was my attempt, because I didn't get a wig. I didn't get the proper clothes. I think I kind of self-sabotaged, because I was so nervous. I was so nervous about in any way indicating to this person that I liked him, because that was just terrifying to think of what could happen then. And but you know, he was a good sport. He was like, all right, well, as long as I don't look like myself, I don't care. Like, I'll just tell people I'm Britney Spears, whatever. I went as David Bowie, because of course I did. And I had the full, you know, Ziggy Stardust circle on my forehead, but, you know, 17-year-olds in 1999 did not really get it. So I had a picture of what I was trying to be, and I kept pointing to it. Like, I printed it out, like, I'm this, and be like, who the hell's that? I'm like, it's David Bowie, you know. So I went to this party, and as I said, I did not go out at night. I didn't drink. I didn't do anything before this. So I'd only really had like a shot from like a parent's liquor cabinet the final month of my senior year of high school, because my friend said I had to drink alcohol before I left high school. So I did. So, but this party, they had Everclear Punch. Yeah. And I didn't know what that was. I'm seriously, the naivete is just baffling. But I got one of those, you know, big red solo cups, which is probably, 16 ounces, something like that. And I filled it up. So that's like 3-4 shots of Everclear. And started sipping on that. And I didn't know anybody there except my few friends I was with. So me and Greg and like my two friends, we just sat on the couch because, you know, I was awkward. So, of course, all my friends are awkward. We're just awkward people. We don't know how to talk to anybody. So we're just sitting there sipping our Everclear punch and just getting drunk, just drunk. But because we don't know anybody, we don't know how to talk to anybody, and he looks ridiculous, and I look like David Bowie, I'm like, is this college? Is this what it is? Because this sucks. I mean, I'm racing through my brain that I'm sitting next to my number one crush ever there, but that's about it. I don't know how to talk to anybody. I don't know how to do anything. So I'm drunk, but then we just go home. Like, I go back to the dorm. Nothing happens, because nothing really happened for my whole freshman year, for my whole sophomore year. It didn't really happen because I was so awkward. I tried one more time with Greg. I had to let him know how I felt. I didn't know how to flirt, but I just had to let him know, damn it. And my friend said, oh, you shouldn't. Don't. Do that, because they knew he didn't really like me, but I had to try. So it got to the point where I think I literally said, I can't take it anymore. And I went downstairs in our dorms. Our dorms were the music dorms. And so there were practice rooms downstairs. We had like, you know, little booths that were soundproof that people could practice in. So he was in there with his saxophone, and I knock on the door, and he opens it up. I said, Hi. I'm really attracted to you. I like you. So I'm just wondering what you think about that. I mean, it was seriously, that's almost word for word. And he said, well, I don't feel the same way. And I said, great, good, just clearing that up. Okay, I closed the door, ran upstairs. And I cried for like 2 weeks because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Quite honestly, I told this last, I was at the Great Debate last night and I said how I'd been online dating for 10 years. It's literally been within the last 2 or 3 years that I've figured out how to flirt. Like, it's amazing. I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing it. Oh! So, my point is, despite all fashion disasters and whatever other disasters there are, eventually, I guess you figure it out. So, thank you.
That's Taylor Gonda, everybody.
The Narrators is produced by Robert Rutherford, Mary Robertson, Aaron Rollman, and me, Ron Doyle. Our assistant producer is Sydney Crane. Our theme music is by Whalehawk, and our founder and executive producer is Andrew Orvidal. A very special thanks to our amazing sponsors, Illegal Pete's, Sexy Pizza, From the Hip Photo, and Renegade Brewing Company. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. And join us at one of our live monthly shows, which take place every second Tuesday of the month at Tiger Tiger Tavern in San Diego, California, and every third Wednesday of the month at Bumport Theater in Denver, Colorado. Both shows start at 8 p.m. and are always free to attend. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, and for past episodes, photos from our live shows, and a list of our upcoming events and themes, please visit thenarrators.org. Thanks for listening.